Blog
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio.
The NFL Recap Show, brought to you by The Zen Man, only on Ship to Shore Radio. What's going on, everybody? It's Friday night, 10 o'clock. Christmas starts in a couple days. And you know what? What an NFL season. Not to say that a lot of it was good. It was all good, but you know, for some teams, it wasn't. But it was still just amazing to watch, even though it was back in this season. I mean, including the lockout. I mean, I'm not even talking about that, but that just adds into the drama. And just what a year it's been. And I had to put together a show to talk about it. And, you know, there's still 2 weeks left, and still a lot can happen. And it's just amazing, some of these teams. You know, usually the better teams, I mean, usually, you know, the better teams with the better players, you know, they're in the playoffs, but, you know, this year just isn't like that. It's really hard to describe this year. But the way I described it, I guess, in a positive note, was it is the year of the quarterbacks. Just a lot of unique, different quarterback stories from anywhere from stats to games won, just the unique circumstances to records by rookies. And just to get it started off, I just thought I'd bring out the stats for the quarterbacks this year. Drew Brees, just an outstanding year so far. 4,780 passing yards. Tom Brady, I hate to even overshadow him because he's had an impressive year too. 4,583 yards. Both of them on pace to break the NFL single season record set by Dan Marino in 1984. Tom Brady's most likely going to pass that, but it's won't matter because Drew Brees is way ahead of him, and Drew Brees can pretty much walk it in now. He can easily pass it this upcoming game. And just on top of those two, you have Eli Manning, who's having a hell of a year, despite a couple bad games, one of them being last week. He's having a great year. He's on pace for about 5,000 yards. That's insane. And he's got two more passing yards than Aaron Rodgers, who's fourth on the list, with 4,360. And obviously, he's viewed at maybe as the top guy just because of his team. Well, undefeated until last week. Obviously, still an impressive season. And then Matthew Stafford had a healthy year this year. And his Detroit Lions, well on their way to a playoff spot. He has 4,145 yards. And he can credit a lot of that to Calvin Johnson. But it's still an amazing year for him. But let's talk about two other quarterbacks that I think kind of stole the spotlight from all these great numbers. And you know what? How about we start it off with this guy right here.
With the first pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Cam Newton, quarterback, Auburn.
I didn't really know exactly his college career, but when I looked at it been fully today, just coming across it, looking at Cam's college stats and, you know, being drafted, wow. I don't know if anybody realizes this. Well, I'm sure some people do. He actually backed up in Florida for 2 years and didn't really play much. And then he had a whole season off. And he really only had one full season in college, and he just won the Heisman, undefeated, won the championship. I mean, a phenomenal year for a guy who really only had one good year, one solid, one year really that he even played remotely close to a full season, and he ended up being the first pick in the draft. And obviously, if you look at history and the first picks and just drafts in general, you know, a lot of these guys, it's really, you know, you have a better percentage of getting a great player in the first round and in the first pick. But as, you know, as history will tell you, a lot of times it's not the first pick. And actually, it seems like more often than not, a better quarterback is picked later in the draft. Obviously, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, guys like that. And so a lot of skepticism on Cam and what he was going to bring to the table in Carolina, obviously entering a team that was pretty bad and a lot of work to be done. The team, if you look at their record this year, obviously you would say, okay, they didn't really have a great season, but believe me, they had a great season. Definitely. They didn't have any, you know, goals set other than just start winning some games. You know, it's not like they failed their, you know, the preseason goals by not making the playoffs this year. You know, everybody knew that that was going to happen. But let's just give you guys some great records that Cam Newton has broken this year. Obviously, the point I'm trying to get across is that he did do everything that they were hoping for, and he did produce what a number one pick should produce in the NFL. And here it started off. He has the most passing yards by quarterback in a debut game. His first game in the 2011 season, September 11th, against the Arizona Cardinals, he had 422 passing yards. And he has the most passing yards for a quarterback in his first two games. That was the Arizona Cardinals game. And then the second game he had versus the Green Bay Packers, combined 854 yards. His third record broken was the most passing yards by a rookie in a game, 432 yards, which was second game against the Green Bay Packers. So amazing. He kind of just said, all right, he took it out there. First game, got your attention. And then before you can even blink, he does something even more amazing. He gets more yards the next game. That's just the first of many stats. The fourth stat, he is the first quarterback in NFL history to pass for more than 400 yards in a first career start. Obviously, it's just another stat. You already knew that by the first stat I gave you. He is the sixth quarterback to throw for 400-plus yards in back-to-back games. Just, you know, that's incredible. Sixth quarterback to throw. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that have been in and out of this league. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to pass more than 400 yards in the first two career starts. Just, you know, it's never happened. First rookie in NFL history to pass more than 400 yards in back-to-back games. Very similar to what I just said. Fastest player to throw for 1,000 yards. He did that in his third game. Against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was almost there, actually, after his first two games. He only needed, like, about 160 yards to then get that record. He is the fastest player, or first player in NFL history with at least 5 rushing touchdowns and 5 passing touchdowns in his first 5 games. He's the first rookie in NFL history to throw for 10 touchdowns and run for 10 touchdowns in the season. And the season is not even over. He is the fourth rookie quarterback to throw for 3,000 yards in a season and most rushing touchdowns in a single season by quarterback 13. It was also a rookie stat that he acquired about 2 or 3 games ago, and that's only getting better and better. He did that on December 4th against the Bucks. And like I said, the most passing yards in a single game, 432 for a rookie, obviously. Most passing yards in his first two games, 854, like I said before. And like I also mentioned, the most rushing touchdowns by a quarterback, 13. And yeah, man, those were the Panther, Carolina Panther team. The last three I said were the Carolina Panther team records. But obviously, he broke those same records in the NFL pretty much. So just crazy. And yeah, man, just amazing. I don't know where the Carolina Panthers are going to go. They still have Steve Smith and two, I don't want to say great running backs, but they have two running backs that definitely know the offense. I don't know if they're going to go out and get another guy. You know, they have Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. But I just thought that was one of the real bright spots in the NFL. Obviously, the lockout kind of set things in a better mood to start everything off. But for a guy like Cam Newton, I mean, it's also amazing to point out that, I mean, yeah, he had obviously a college season, you know, but he, with the lockout, he couldn't really practice, you know, so he was kind of thrown in the mix really quick. He just had the preseason games in the season, and he was able to adapt that quickly. And it's just amazing what he's accomplished in 2 years after not playing any football. And then he just, you know, he goes undefeated in Auburn, wins a championship, Heisman Trophy. And then he's definitely on his way to winning a Rookie of the Year, setting all his records. Just amazing. So that's what Cam Newton has done so far. And I have 10 plays for you guys today, my top 10 plays of the 2011 season. This is just my top 10 plays. And I was going to play all 10 to end the show, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to give you guys a little taste of it right now. And I'm going to give you guys the 10 through 6 right now. And then at the end of the show, I'll give you guys 1 through 5 top plays of the season. And with that, I'm going to kick it off, and I'll let Devin Hester bring you my 10th best play of the season.
What a punt by Malone. All the way back to the 18. But another good return by Hester. Crossing the 40, and again it's Malone, who had a hand on him, couldn't get him out of bounds, and Hester will kick it the distance.
Just one of many return touchdowns for Devin Hester. He did break the career punt return touchdowns total this year. And he's still got a lot of life in him, so who knows what that record might turn into in a couple of years. But that was the 10th best play. It was Devin Hester and his punt return for a touchdown. Just a great, great play. And, you know, I could have put in all of them up there, but that was just the best, I think the best one he had. I think he came into that game questionable. As, you know, a lot of players have been kind of questionable all year, but they've been playing. And I thought he had an ankle injury that game, and he still managed to, you know, to run past everybody. I just don't know how he does it. But here is my 9th best play of the season, brought to you by Torrey Smith, Joe Flacco, and the Baltimore Ravens.
Smith wide right, Reed wide left. Flacco, again, protected well. To the end zone, he goes, and it's caught for the touchdown by Torrey Smith. And there's a flag down at the 2-yard line. With defensive interference, that will hold up, and with 8 seconds left, the Ravens will conclude a 92-yard drive with a touchdown.
That was a huge, huge play. I mean, that won the game for them. And that was the game, the second game they won against Pittsburgh, which gives them the tiebreaker. So very likely, just with 2 games left, I mean, obviously it's very possible they could tie them. So if that happens, they have the first, they have the tiebreaker, and they will, you know, it's the difference between probably the second or first seed in the wild card. So it's, you know, between the second seed or fifth seed, which is going to make a big difference in the second round. If the wild card team, whether it be Pittsburgh or the Ravens, advance, you know, well, actually we'll know, and it'll be the first round because the division winners play at home no matter what. And chances are whoever gets that fifth seed, whether it be the Ravens or the Steelers, are going to have a much better record than the fourth seed, which will probably be the Denver Broncos. And they're going to have no choice but to play on the road. So it's definitely – and obviously the next other team gets a first-round bye. So it's I know it's a lot to talk about, but that one play changed all of it. So that was the 9th best play of the NFL season, brought to you by the Zen Man. And here is number 8. This is brought to you by Cam Newton and his first touchdown of his NFL career.
On the third down, here comes the blitz. Newton puts it up. He's got a man, and he completes it. Steve Smith is going all the way. Touchdown, Carolina. 77 yards. Cam Newton's first touchdown pass to the NFL.
Yep, that was Cam Newton's first touchdown, and it was just history from there. Him and Steve Smith have been on point all year. amazing how you can get that much chemistry in such a little time. It's amazing how fast he's growing, and he's got, you know, a solid 15 more years to grow, and who knows what he can turn into. So I just thought it was really great. Here's my number seven play. This is an 80-yard touchdown for the Houston Texans. Kind of sums up their season. As of late, it's kind of been a little shaky, but it's really, you know, it's not really bad play. I mean, it's bad play, but it's also bad just happenings to them with, you know, their first two quarterbacks being injured. Obviously, Matt Schaub with a big injury. But even Matt Leinart obviously was good enough, I think, to save their season and still keep, you know, they have a very all-around team. But now they turn to T.J. Yates, and they're still a good team. But it's tough to say. They haven't been playing great lately. But this, they still have had a great year, first playoff appearance. And I think this is the best play they had all year.
20. Schaub rolling right. Schaub throwing, has a wide open Jacoby Jones, and he has a lot of room. Jacoby Jones goes all the way on the first play of the game.
Yep, first play. It was against, I believe it was against the Bucks. You know, the Bucks have had a horrible season, but still a great play. Jacoby Jones had to fill in with the injuries of Andre Johnson all year. And it's good to see the supporting cast really picking it up for the Houston Texans. Matt Schaub was the quarterback then, but he is no longer because of the injury. And hopefully he can come back next season if, you know, I think that the Texans are one of the upcoming teams. But here is my number six play. And I'm proud to announce it is from the Miami Dolphins. It was last week, as a matter of fact. It's this play kind of represents the play itself and just the game he had, period. And here it is, Reggie Bush.
Play is the fullback, and Reggie Bush with a big hole, hurdling an offender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins. Reggie Bush streaking 76 yards.
Great blocking up from
Incognito, yes, sir.
With a break, and then forcing Jarius Bird to miss on the back end. Reggie Bush, it's the kind of running we saw.
Play is with score.
And that was play number six. And that was Reggie Bush, 203 rushing yards. That's the fourth player to do that this year. And for a guy that has been there, I mean, it's you know, there's opinions on everybody, but obviously it's fair opinions that he may not be big enough to be an every down back, which the Dolphins have basically made him all year. But for a guy like that to do 203 yards is just amazing. And, you know, I mean, he got almost half of it with that one run, but still, that doesn't happen very often. And that was a great play by him. And we're going to move on to my next segment of the show. You know what? I've been staying away from talking about Tim Tebow. You know, I figured it's on ESPN enough, but you know what? There's no way I could do an NFL wrap-up of the season without at least giving a short segment to Tim Tebow. And I'm just going to talk about him. And he was drafted 25th in the NFL draft in 2010. If you guys missed it, here it is right now.
Baltimore has traded the 25th pick to Denver. And with the 25th pick in the 2010 NFL draft, the Denver Broncos select Tim Tebow, quarterback, Florida.
Yep, just a lot of surprises with that. It's understandable, I guess, just looking at it as a big picture, but the fact that he's succeeded greatly in every level he's been in, it's just amazing. He still gets a lot of heat on him and a lot of doubters. I really don't doubt him anymore. I mean, if he's winning games, he's winning games. You know, it's the right, you know, it's a normal way to win games because of your big arm or whatever, but, you know, there's other aspects that can win the game that he has, and I think, you know, he's proven himself. And yes, he was drafted by the Broncos. The Broncos traded to get that pick, meaning they were really looking for him. And that was the year they also got Kyle Orton and Brady Quinn, and they still drafted to get him. He started three games in 2010 and went 1-2. And he started nine games this year, and he's 7-2 as a starter. Big difference in that. Broncos were actually, at one point, I thought, considered just a bad team. I didn't see them going anywhere. But he has just really brought life to this team. And now I'm putting him in the playoffs. So we'll see. There's still two games left, but definitely a big chance for that. This year, quarterback rating, 83.6, 11 touchdowns and only two picks. That's a big number right there. Not necessarily 11 TDs, but only two interceptions in nine games. That's incredible. You talk about Drew Brees. He's got 11, which I think is still incredible for how many passes he's made. But Tim Tebow's played, you know, nine games and only given up two picks. You know, he's a smart player. And, you know, he gives a team a chance to win, you know, with not making stupid, you know, interceptions and whatnot. And just to start it off, you know, it started off against the Dolphins. At the time, it was week seven. Dolphins were 0-5. And we were up 15-0, 2:44 left in the fourth quarter. And it happened so quickly. A touchdown, onside kick was good. Another touchdown, a two-point conversion. And over time, Denver got a fumble recovery and then won the game with a field goal. It happened so quickly with Tebow because he only gives himself about 2 minutes to do it, and he just, man, that was a rough day for me. Obviously, you know, your team's 0-4, 0-5, and you want nothing more but a win. And to be that close, and I'm sorry, even a team that's 0-5, you look at that scoreboard with the time left, and if you've watched the way that Tebow plays for most of the game, he's getting better now, but when he started, it was just horrible. You would just never thought a guy could step it up that much, but it is what it is. And that was his first game and his first win. But week eight against the Lions, whole different story. 45-10 loss, quarterback rating of 3.4 out of 152, I believe. 3.4. That was one of the worst of all time. Horrible game for Tebow. And yes, he lost. So what are you thinking now? Are you thinking he kind of just shot all of his hopes and dreams? I don't think so. And I don't know if it sounds a little familiar. But listen up.
And I just want to say one thing to the fans and everybody in Gator Nation. I'm sorry, extremely sorry. You know, we were hoping for an undefeated season. That was my goal. Something the floor has never done here. But I promise you one thing, a lot of good will come out of this. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season, and you never see someone push the rest of the team as hard as I will push everybody the rest of the season, and you never see a team play harder than we will the rest of the season. God bless.
That wasn't the same game, obviously. That was in Florida, and they lost to Ole Miss 31-30. And he turned around, won the rest of his games, and won the national championship. So similar position, got blown out by the Lions, and that's not something Tim Tebow, a lot of quarterbacks would be like, wow, reality check, maybe I'm not that good. Not Tim Tebow. Week 9, move ahead, 38-24 win versus the Raiders. He had 124 passing yards, two touchdowns, and 118 rushing yards. So, first game back after that game, did great. Let's move on to the next game. Week 10 versus the Chiefs. Two completions all game. This is how Tim Tebow does it. 2 for 8. He wasn't 2 for 30 or anything, but he was 2 for 8, 64 yards. But one of those passes was a big one. Listen up.
Broncos, Kansas City, here comes his three. It's a third and long. Tebow for Decker. He's got it! Touchdown, Denver!
Watch Decker. He's going to get double covered. Starts with Brandon Flowers. The safety comes over, and Langford can't get there.
Yep, and Broncos end up winning that game as well. You know, it's just hard to comprehend and to accept because, you know, every other quarterback wins with numbers and pass completions and touchdowns. But you know what? He does. He makes the ones that count. You know, I mean, you don't. He's not gonna really. He just doesn't do. He just when it counts, he makes the plays, and that's just a perfect example right there. So 2 games after the big loss in Detroit. He's, 2-0 since then. And let's go against the Jets. You just beat the Raiders and the Chiefs, two big games, divisions, but maybe not, you know, tough games. But now you got to play the Jets. Jets haven't had the season that they were hoping for. But you know what? They're still a good team and a tough team to play. And it was 13-10 Jets. And with Tim Tebow, he had the ball. Towards the closing minutes of the game. And let's see what he did.
Does the drive continue here? Jets show blitz. They're going to bring it. Tebow trying to run around the corner. Tebow's got a first down and more. He might score. Touchdown!
Tim Tebow, very elusive for, you know, a quarterback like him. He's always been a strong runner, but never breakaway speed or anything like Michael Vick. But even against a defense like the Jets, you know what? He knows that he's capable of doing anything, and that play was amazing. And he's just scoring and winning the game. Yeah, the Jets are now 3-0 after that horrible loss at Detroit. He's now 4-1 as a starter as of Week 11 versus the Jets. But let's move on. Another division game. Chargers, not necessarily a great or an easy team to play. But the Chargers, they were kind of in a rough patch. And with a field goal remaining, with a couple 30 seconds left in overtime, Matt Prater hits a game-winning field goal. If you would have missed it, it might have actually been a tie game. 15 minutes in overtime, and then nobody has scored. So 3 minutes left, 30 seconds left, excuse me. And a field goal also was made with about a minute to go in regulation to send it into overtime. So just barely escaping with that win. But that's since the Detroit loss. He's 3-0 against his division and four straight wins for him. And let's move it on to the Vikings. Vikings putting up 32 points. Think that's a lot. I mean, look at his numbers. If they score a lot of points on him, Tebow's forced to have kind of a big numbers game because he's going to have to put up points to win. And he did. The Broncos won 35-32. And it's just, you know, another story, another crazy ending. Vikings and Broncos were tied at 32 apiece with about 2 minutes left. Vikings have the ball, so you're thinking if anybody's going to win in regulation, it's going to be them. But the Broncos step it up and get an interception and set up Prater for a field goal to win the game, and they win 35-32. So now he's pretty much set a presence. You know, everybody knows what he's all about. And, you know, I kind of saw that the Broncos were a real team, and they just win games. You don't just accidentally win 4 or 5 in a row. You know, you have to do something right. But now you play the Bears in Week 14. Granted, this isn't the same Bears team that you saw in the beginning of the year with Jay Cutler and, Matt Forte and whatnot, but it was still a tough Bears game. And I actually had a text from somebody saying Tebow lost his first game, and I really didn't know what the score was or how much time was left. I was heading to watch the game. They were down 10-0 with 2:08 left in regulation. But quickly, Tebow threw a touchdown to Demaryius Thomas. And the Bears pretty much had the ball and the time, and they could have easily just ran it inbounds to stop the clock or get a first down to win the game. And Marion Barber decided to run out of bounds on one of the plays, and it's a 40-second mistake, leaving 58 seconds on the clock. And it was just enough for Tim Tebow to set up Matt Prater with a 59-yard field goal attempt to win the game with 2 seconds remaining, and he nailed it. And in OT, you know what happens when the Broncos go to overtime. And strangely enough, they never have the ball to start off overtime, but again, they did not have the ball. Marion Barber made one mistake already, and he did. He made another one. It wasn't really – I mean, I give more credit to the defense for forcing the fumble. But here's what happened when they got the ball back.
Matt Prater from 51 yards out for the win. The kick is good!
I honestly think that the first field goal was a little bit more crazy just because once they hit that one, you kind of just knew that the game was over. You just knew that Tebow – I mean, maybe the Broncos team didn't know because, you know, they know that they have to keep their head straight and win the game. But I think everybody knew after the 59-yard field goal to end regulation that there's no way that Denver was not going to win this game. And I just couldn't get the sound for it up on my radio thing, but obviously the game-winning field goal sealed it, and he continues his win streak. And so now, I mean, I wish, you know, they could just not talk as much about him. Let's face ESPN, that's all I talk about. I have a new job. I love my new job. It's a sports fanatic, and it's just nothing but sports. And if anybody knows me, that's my life, and I love everything to do with sports. But, you know, I enjoy the Sports Center, but then I have to hear Tim Tebow's name, and I sell so many Tim Tebow jerseys, and I get it, but you still, I mean, there's so much more that's going on this year that they're not talking about, and I get it, but, you know, still, you know, he's had a great year. But then last week, week 15, so much talk about Tim versus Tom Brady and Tim Tebow. I predicted, honestly, because let's face it, the Patriots are a great team, but they obviously have their weaknesses defensively. You know, they're getting better, but still, it's just definitely a weakness. So I thought because of the defense that Denver has, I thought if they played a great game, I mean, you're so many lopsided. I mean, you have a great defense, but also you have probably one of the best offenses in the NFL with Tom Brady and, you know, everybody on that team. But, you know, it's not really a surprise. Patriots won 41-23. Tom Brady dominated that game. And, yes, the win streak is over, but there's still two games left. The Broncos have a one-game lead in the division. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And I just thought that's pretty much sums up Tim Tebow's, you know, that's what he's done this year. And it's just incredible. He wins the type of games that even – I'm not a fan of the Broncos, but you know what? I root for him just because of the way they do it. And it's, you know, it's almost stupid. Like, you know, why does he put himself in that position? Why does he dig himself a hole? And he's just motivated, you know, and I know he's motivated throughout the whole game, but I guess his motivation overcomes maybe his lack of skills to win a game when there's 2 minutes left. Cause then he starts thinking, okay, if I don't make this pass right now, we're going to lose this game. And I think it just kind of puts him into overdrive and he ends up winning. But that's Tim Tebow. I don't know. I mean, I would say definitely Cam Newton's had a better year stat-wise, but I don't know. Tim Tebow, I mean, I know that they're not – Tim Tebow's not a rookie, but still two young guys that, you know, haven't put up top five quarterback stats. I mean, Cam Newton's really close, but I'm just saying, you know, two young guys, obviously the future of this league. And it's just amazing to see what they've done. And I think, honestly, they're pretty equal, just the way, you know, they just do it differently. You know, it's really hard to compare them because they have two different styles. They both like running the ball, though, that's for sure. Definitely the top two rushing quarterbacks in the league. So, very fun. And that's basically, talking about Tim Tebow, Cam Newton, that's the future of the NFL. And it's, you can start seeing the future this year. So, it's been fun to watch. And just moving on to my next segment here. talked about the passing stats, just to kind of get you guys started off. Mainly, this show is, you know, about the whole season, but like I said, if I had to sum up a few words of the season that's been going on, I just have to pretty much say the quarterbacks have dominated the spotlight and deservedly, so they've done a great job this year. But also rushing and receiving some great plays. No breakout rushing, you know. I mean, it's not like 2009 when Chris Johnson had over 2,000 yards, anything like that. But here's the top five rushing leaders so far. Maurice Jones-Drew for Jacksonville, 1,334 yards. LeSean McCoy, 1,274 yards. Arian Foster, 1,224 yards. Michael Turner for Atlanta, 1,129 yards. And Frank Gore for the surging 49ers, 1,119 yards. And those are your rushing leaders so far. It's amazing. You see a lot of these teams, and they're not having the top two for Jacksonville and Philly not having good years. But rushing the ball, it's amazing. Usually when you rush the ball good, you have a good season, but those two teams have not. The other three teams have Houston, Atlanta, San Francisco, definitely on the way to a playoffs. So be sure to look for those three players to have a good playoff run. And just kidding out the receivers, Wes Welker doing his thing, man. Amazing, 1,380 yards. You talk about the rushing leaders. Wes Welker has more. He has more receiving yards than any of the rushers have rushing yards. And number two, Calvin Johnson. He actually has one more yard than the rushing leader, Maurice Jones-Drew. Calvin has 1,335 receiving yards. He jumped on that list big time. He had over 200 yards last week receiving, I think, 214 yards on like nine catches. It's ridiculous. So he's actually not – I thought Wes Welker was going to run away with the receiving title, but you can see Calvin Johnson maybe capture that from him in the next couple games. And number three on the list, Steve Smith, breakout year for him, 1,299 yards. Victor Cruz, guy that came out of nowhere for the Giants, and he has 1,194 yards. And Jimmy Graham, I swear every one of these guys is a new story, but Jimmy Graham, a tight end nonetheless, about to break the record for most receiving yards as a tight end in NFL history. He has 1,171 yards for him. And let's move on. Like I said, I mentioned last week, week 15, I thought that was definitely one of the more exciting weeks, probably the most exciting week. So much to talk about. I talked about, Tim versus Tom and Reggie Bush. You heard what he did. That happened last week as well. And I think the two just amazing things that really switch. I mean, you have the undefeated Chiefs. I'm sorry. The undefeated Packers. I don't think anybody would believe that for a second, huh? The undefeated Packers at 13-0 and the winless Colts at 0-13. And honestly, being a Dolphins fan and, you know, cherishing that 1972 season that I wasn't around for, but I definitely embrace it. And, you know, every year, of course, Dolphins making the playoffs and whatnot is definitely the thing I look forward to most. But every now and then you see a team go 10-0, 11-0, and it gets in your mind. Honestly, I thought the Packers could have easily gone 16-0. They were that good. Lost to the Chiefs. I don't know how. The Chiefs were not in any position to beat the Packers, but they did. So, like I said before, I started off with this segment, Tim versus Tom. Last week, you have a guy in Tom Brady, obviously, who's going to the Hall of Fame, and is still part of a Patriots, I don't want to say dynasty, but they're pretty close right now. They're a great team. They're 13 wins every season, pretty much. And, obviously he's going to have better numbers than Tebow, but Tim Tebow, not bad. He had 194 passing yards and 93 rushing yards. That's not bad at all. What is that, 287 all-purpose yards for him. He had two rushing touchdowns. But Brady with 320 passing yards and two touchdowns himself. And Patriots just took it over. I think Tom Brady had a chip on his shoulder. You know, when you're a quarterback in the league and you're having a great year like he's having, I'm not saying he just goes to bed and dreams that he's on SportsCenter nonstop, but when you look at SportsCenter and you see Tim Tebow's name said 50 times and your name said maybe once, something wrong there, especially when he's having a huge monster year compared to Tim Tebow. So I think he had a little chip on his shoulder, and I think also if you look at the fact that they were actually comparing him, like I said, I did think the Denver could have won. I thought if the Patriots won, which they did, that it wouldn't have been an upset or anything, but they were comparing the two quarterbacks. Like, I compare the two teams, you know. I think Denver definitely, other than Tim Tebow, has a great team. Yeah, and they were comparing the quarterbacks, and I think from Tom's standpoint, that really got under his skin. So nonetheless, I believe that's what happened, and Tom Brady and the Patriots won big time. And the Patriots now have the best record in the AFC with 11-3. And Broncos, I think, are on the way to the playoffs, the one-game lead in the AFC West, and not too hard of a schedule to end the season. And Reggie Bush, last week, 203 yards. Just amazing. You hear every day, not every day, but whenever you talk about Reggie Bush, the talk is about him not being an every down back. Never was. I mean, he was in college, and I believe he was a second pick by New Orleans. But, you know, when you're not – that happens with quarterbacks, too. I mean, you can dominate in college, but you still have to be a certain size. The exception to Drew Brees, he's not a very tall guy. For a quarterback, that's a must, but he does it day in and day out being his height. I don't know what his height is exactly, but it's definitely well below the average. And Reggie Bush, the same thing. I mean, he's got blow away speed. You know, he's definitely still a valuable punt returner and whatnot, but he's not a guy that's going to break tackles, which is – Chris Johnson's kind of an exception. I mean, he's a small guy too, but he's a little bit more talented, I think, than Reggie at the running back position. And the fact that he went for 203 yards against the Bills was just amazing. I kind of was thinking about it just because it was possible. His previous single game record was 126, and he ended up getting 203. And I knew he had about 127 at the time, and I just knew that if he for some reason has a big run, I mean it happens that can happen anytime to anybody, but he did, and he went 76 yards. Fourth player to do that this year, Chris Beanie Wells, Chris Johnson, and Ray Rice all had over 200 yards in a game this season. So to join those three running backs, you just kind of don't ever talk about them for being in the same category. But Reggie did join them, and the Dolphins, I believe they were 0-7 to start the season, but now they get their fifth win. They're 5-9. Not a great season, but definitely from where your mind was 7-8 weeks in, you definitely are happy to see where they now are. I think they're 0-7 and they're 7-2 since. So not bad. 5-2 since. So it's not bad. And moving on to the two bigger stories, the Colts, 0-13 through 14 weeks. Just a couple of things. 27th in the yards per game and giving up yards per game. And they're 28th offensively in scoring. Life without Peyton Manning is just bad news for them. I think he might be the best quarterback ever. He's definitely should be talked about. And I've heard a lot of talk about him possibly being the MVP, even though he didn't play, because MVP means most valuable player. And you can now see what his presence does for the team, being one guy. You know, if he's in the lineup, they win 13, 14 games. If he's not, they're lucky to win one or two. He hasn't played all year. Curtis Painter did horrific. He played about 10 games, didn't win one of them. Dan Orlovsky came in third string, and he wasn't that bad, actually. You could see a big turnaround. And to play this last week, they played the Titans. Titans were, in my mind, a playoff hopeful. They were 7-6 at the moment. And Jake Locker came in, threw a TD. And it was 20-13 Colts at that point. And Colts had the ball. And this is what happens when they were at their own 20-yard line for the first play of the drive, about 4 minutes left.
As a quarterback in the NFL where he's actually played in the game and thrown a pass.
Donald Brown breaking free initially. And Brown off to the races. Donald Brown down the sideline. He's gone. Touchdown, Indianapolis.
No flag. Put it on the board.
That play was amazing. It really takes back to last year in Seattle and Marshawn Lynch and what he did. I still think that was definitely more impressive, but Donald Brown, just the fact that they were 0-13, that's just for a fan to go to that game and just to see that whole entire place just go nuts for an 80-yard run that just nailed in the coffin and won the game for him. And I'm happy for him. You know, I don't like to see a team. You know, I don't really care, but at the same time, I was in that position once, you know. Dolphins, I believe they were 0-14 when they got their first win. It was an overtime win. I still remember, I don't remember who the quarterback was, but it was definitely a no-name guy. He did get through a 70-yard touchdown in overtime to win our first game. So I can only imagine how these guys are feeling, especially being used to, you know, Peyton Manning at 13-win seasons. You know, so good win for them. Just a great play overall, period. And moving on to the last segment, on the other end of the spectrum, you have the Packers, 13-0. Rodgers, looked at by most as MVP. You know, you look at stats and, you know, your team's performance. If you go undefeated with his numbers, you know, you got to kind of put him at the MVP. You have the Chiefs, who I don't see were horrible. And they already had, I mean, he was a decent quarterback with Matt Castle. He was out. Tyler Pacheco came in. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with Pacheco. He's a great guy. He tries, but he's just not good enough to play in the NFL, I don't think. And, then after Denver booted out Kyle Orton, he came back to play for the Chiefs. They claimed him off waivers. And you have Kyle Orton. He's not bad. He had a great season there last year, actually. But just a guy that's had an up-and-down season. And to just come in and win, I mean, it wasn't just him. It was also the defense for the Chiefs. But, yeah, they held Rodgers to 235 yards, which is still, I mean, it's not horrible, but for Rodgers, it's not that much. It was 12-7 Chiefs and Jack and Battle, third and goal at the one, touchdown. 19-7, they were up about 3 minutes left. Rodgers came back and got a TD, and the Chiefs still had some work to do to finish the game. They had to get a first down, and they did. And just a great win for them. And the 7-2 Dolphins can rejoice, celebrating another season, which they are the only undefeated team in NFL history. So good for them. And this is going to be an interesting segment for you guys. This is my awards. You know, I have two other shows. This is not a regular show. I just thought, you know, it's a fun one. I really like to talk about the NFL, and I felt that this season just deserved at least a show talking about it. And I had my mid-season awards earlier in one of my shows. These are my end-of-the-season awards. I started off with the MVP. If it would have been any other time, I would have probably said Aaron Rodgers. But the fact that, you know, he lost one game, and I'm not saying that he's all of a sudden a different guy, but I think because that he was undefeated and that if he would have gone undefeated, you can't ignore that. You'd have to give him the MVP. Because he's now 13-1, and the New Orleans Saints, who were a very shaky team, they once lost to the Buccaneers, which I think the Buccaneers haven't won a game since that win. We're talking about the Saints, who have been lights out, man. They've just been crazy the second half of the season. Drew Brees has 4,780 passing yards. Okay? He's 37 touchdowns and only 11 picks. He's on pace to shatter Dan Marino's single-season passing mark of 5,084 yards. He's on pace for 5,463 yards with two games to go. I mean, 11-3, 13-1, you know, it's not a big enough difference. That difference is a lot less than I think the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. Not to take anything away from Rodgers, but we're going to give it to one guy. I'm giving it to Drew Brees. They're both, you know, carrying their teams. To be honest with you, I think Drew, I mean, just the numbers that Drew Brees puts up is just retarded. And I think if you look at both teams, and you're talking about MVP, I think the Packers have a much better defense than the Saints. And the fact that he's won that many games with the Saints this year is just crazy. Going to the Rookie of the Year award, no, really no surprise here. Cam Newton, I told you all the records he's broken. It's 3,722 passing yards, and he's on pace for 4,253. He has 17 passing touchdowns and 13 rushing touchdowns, and he's got 609 yards rushing for the season. For a rookie, that's just phenomenal. He's set so many records, and he's well-deserved of the Rookie of the Year. Other notables, I mean, there's definitely notables. You know, definitely Andy Dalton, A.J. Green from the Bengals. You know, they're having a great year themselves, but just the numbers that he put up kind of just hands down. He's been the pick since day one, to be honest with you. And my comeback player of the year award goes to Steve Smith, 1,300 yards this year in receiving. In his 14 games last year, he only had 554. Obviously, Cam Newton has been the difference, you know, for the most part, but that's, you know, that's, Cam Newton didn't give him 800 more yards. You know, that was Steve Smith stepping it up. And, you know, it was, you know, you guys talk about, these guys don't really have chemistry to start the season off, and what they've done together has been great. So I think Steve Smith wins the comeback player of the year. He has 6 touchdowns this year. Last year, only 2. Most surprising player award, got to give it to my man Tim Tebow. Started 3 games last year. Like I said, he's 1-2. He wasn't even the starter this year. He was Kyle Orton for the first 5 games. And, yeah, he's week 7 for the Dolphins till now. That's 9 games. He's 7-2. And like I said, I once counted him out, but now I've counted out numerous teams this year at one point. But there's still so many teams that can still make it to the playoffs. But this team absolutely has a great chance. So, to make it to the playoffs is just crazy. You know, there's so many doubters. And, you know, it's understandable because he doesn't have the big numbers. But what he's done for this team is great. My most disappointing player award, given it to Chris Johnson. It's getting better, but still. I mean, a guy 2 years ago had over 2,000 rushing yards. He's only got 930 yards this year with, you know, 2 games left. He looks a lot, you know, he looks better than what he's been for the most part of the season. He's only on pace for 1,063. Like I said, 2,006 rushing yards in 2009. And this is after he got the huge contract. He's only had a few bright spots this season. He had a few bright spots in a game 2009. And just definitely disappointing. But still, they have a shot to make the playoffs. But like I said, last week they lost to the Colts. So I don't have them make it. And moving on, my most surprising team, the 49ers, 11-3, clinched the division a month ago, and have not given up a rushing touchdown all season. That's crazy. You have the next closest team giving up 6 touchdowns. No team has ever gone this far into a season without giving up a TD, rushing TD, that is. They're currently second in the NFC and tied for second in the NFL with the Saints and the Patriots. They currently have the first round bye, and just like I said, defense wins games, and if that's the case, then they have a good shot at doing a lot this year and in the postseason. So we'll keep an eye on them. The most disappointing team has got to be the Eagles. They're 6-8. They're still in it. Honestly, I don't even know how they're still in it, but it's kind of just goes to show you everybody else isn't really playing that hot either. But they're supposed to have a great year. I thought they were going to have 13-14 wins. And I thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. They were close last year, obviously in the playoffs. And you just saw the first experiment with Vic went well. And I just thought it was just going to get better this year. A couple of additions, Asamaga as a DB, and Ronnie Brown really hasn't been an impact this year. 6-8 on the year. The teams that they lost to, the Bills, the 49ers, the Giants, the Falcons, the Bears, Cardinals, Patriots, and Seahawks. A couple of tough ones in there, but quite a few bad ones that you would have thought there's no way they would lose to. But they are still mathematically alive. But that's, we'll see what happens with that. It's going to take a miracle. My best kicker award goes to Matt Prater. No question here. He doesn't get enough love, man. You know, I mean, I understand, you know, this. And I'll give it to him. I mean, when a team does lose, they do blame the quarterback. But when they win, they also blame the quarterback as well. So they get the good with the bad. But Matt Prater has saved Tim Tebow's ass all year long. You give a guy, I mean, Tim Tebow's digging himself in these holes. And if it wasn't for Matt Prater, you know, I mean, I say he gets saved by a field goal like 80% of the time, whether it be in regulation or overtime or both. But Matt Prater's came through every game, you know, and hit the big kicks. So he's definitely my best kicker of the year. I don't know anybody that would be close. Janikowski obviously would be, you know, I think he may be the best kicker. I mean, just if you, you know, trying to kick a 65-yarder, I might give it to Janikowski, but Prater's been clutch. He's having an Adam Vinatieri-like season. Coach of the year, Jim Harbaugh for the 49ers. No surprise, really. You know, still staying with Alex Smith, who has not really done anything all career for the 49ers. And how he turned that team around, I have no idea. And they're a really, really good team this year. So, good for him. So, where do we stand? It's been 15 weeks, 14 games, 2 left. And so let's see what we got going on here. Here is the playoff standing so far. A few teams have clinched. And we have the Patriots and the Ravens, top two teams in the AFC. Texans, at 10-5, have the third spot. And the Broncos so far are 8-6. The fourth spot. Steelers already clinched, but they're a wild card team as of right now at 10-4. And the Jets are 8-6, hanging on by a thread. But see, if they went out, they're in. In the NFC, you have the Packers and the 49ers, top two seeds. The Saints right behind them at 11-3. Cowboys 8-6 at the fourth spot, currently ahead of the Giants in that division. And the wild card should be locked up. Falcons, Lions, both at 9-5. Nobody else has more than 7 wins. So with 2 games to go, everybody else is 2 games back. So it's kind of hard for them to come back there and then pull ahead. And here's how I think the top next 2 weeks are going to play out. I told you who's clinched. The top 3 seeds in each conference have clinched. Let's talk about the AFC West. With 2 games to go, I think the Broncos have it wrapped up. They have a game up on Oakland and San Diego, but they have an easy schedule. They got to play the Bills and the Chiefs. And when it comes to competition, you know, if they play, if they run into a team, you know, as elite, like the Patriots or the Packers or the Saints, I don't think they really have a good shot at winning. Although because of their defense, it's possible, but they're playing the Bills and the Chiefs. And Tim Tebow is not going to let them lose. He's just close. And there's just no way. I think they're going to win out and finish 10-6, which gives no chance for anybody else in that division to make the playoffs. And here's the wild card spots. Here's what I think is going to happen. Pittsburgh, they're not going to – they're going to sit Roethlisberger this game. They're playing the Rams. I think it's a blessing for them that they only have the Rams and the Browns left because they can sit him and get him healthy for the playoffs. And I think they're still going to win out. So I think they're going to go 12-4. The Bengals, I think, will get the second spot in the wild card. For this reason, they play Arizona at home and then the Ravens at home. They're 0-3 so far against the Steelers and the Ravens. But at home, and I think the Ravens – I don't know. I think their last game of the year, they might not be taking it so heavily. I just think the Bengals are going to break through and win that game. I think I finished 10-6, which means I just don't see the Jets winning out, which is what they would have to do. They have to play the Giants this week and at Miami next week, which I'm sorry, but Miami's not an easy team to play. You can beat them, but they're going to come at you. So I think it's going to be a tough game, two games for them. And I think Cincinnati just has a better shot. So I think it's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, which already obviously are going to be in the playoffs. But I think the Bengals get that final spot in the AFC. And in the NFC, one division still left up for grabs. NFC East. Well, the Giants screwed up last week. Two of the last three games were against the Cowboys, which is the team that they're desperately fighting for right now, fighting against for the last spot. And they beat them, but then they lost to the Redskins last week. So the Cowboys don't have a tiebreaker, but they don't need it right now. They're a game up. If the Cowboys win this week and the Giants lose, then the Cowboys have it wrapped up. But if they both win or both lose, which I think they're both going to win, then it comes down to the final week, and whoever wins that game is in, because if the Giants win, they're now tied. And they have the tiebreaker because of that's two wins they've had against the Cowboys. So that's how I feel it's going to happen. I think the Giants are going to be in a position to win and be in the final game. And it's kind of funny they both control their own destiny, but because they play each other, you know, it's going to come down to that last game, I think, and the Giants will win at home. I think matchups, they have them. And at home, I just think Eli's solid this year. He's had a couple bad games, but I still think he's solid. Wild card, it's just impossible for other teams. I would love to see Seattle, Arizona get in there, man. Like, if you look at the beginning of the season, San Fran just owned that division. And they still do, but the fact that Arizona and Seattle are even mentioned at this week in the playoffs, in the season to make the playoffs, is crazy. But they have a shot at it. But every other team in the hunt is seven wins. So they're two games back with two games to go. It's just going to be very unlikely. For the teams in the hunt, you have Seattle playing San Francisco, Arizona playing Cincinnati on the road, Chicago playing Green Bay. And I just think it's too much to happen. Too much. I think the Falcons and the Lions have it for sure. All they got to do is win one game, or the other teams have to lose one, either or. But a lot can happen. Like I said, this has been a very weird season, so I'm not counting anybody out. So here is my predicted playoff standings for this year. In the AFC, I feel the Pats will end up with a 12-4 record and have the top spot. In the AFC, the Steelers, I think the Steelers will get the second spot. Here's why. I just think they're going to win the next two games, and the Ravens, I feel, will lose one of them. And that's what's going to have to happen if the Steelers have to have a better record than them, because they're not going to win a tiebreaker. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think the Ravens are going to lose to the Bengals in the final game, and I think the Steelers will then have the best record in that division, and I think the Steelers will have the second spot in the AFC. I never thought about it until I looked at the two remaining games for them, and now I definitely think so. So Steelers, I believe, will have the second spot at 12-4. Texans, I haven't talked about them this week. They did play, and they lost to the Colts. It's kind of a random. I was at work. Like I said, we have SportsCenter on. We don't have NFL Network, so I didn't watch the game. But then I saw the highlights, and the way they were talking, I was like, really? And I cannot believe that they – I understand that, you know, they're third-string quarterbacks in, so, you know, it's just a tough one. I don't know. I still think the Texans are a good team. But either way, just with the record, they're going to be third spot no matter what. I think they're going to be 11-5. Broncos, I think, will win out. It'll be 10-6 to wrap up the fourth seed. Wild card, I have the Ravens at 11-5 and the Bengals at 10-6 to be my wild card teams. I did not think the Bengals were going to make it because of their scheduling the, you know, four of the last remaining eight games, even though they had a good record. I think they were 6-2 the first eight games, but then they had to play four against the Ravens and the Steelers. And so far they haven't won, but like I said, just, you know, if you mess up in this league, you usually don't get a second chance, but every team is getting a second chance because these teams just don't want to win games and steal a deal. And the Jets are one of those teams. So Bengals have the opportunity now and I think they're going to take advantage of it. And the NFC, I think the Green Bay Packers will lose another game. I think they're going to finish 14-2. I think they will win this week against the Bears, but I think they're going to lose in week 17, against the Lions. I think they're going to sit players now. Before, it was kind of like, oh, they might not because they want to go undefeated, but that's not going to happen. So I think they're going to definitely do the smart thing and sit some guys. The Saints, I think, will have the second-best record at 13-3. I think they're going to win out. They're hot right now. And I think the 49ers are going to lose one more game. I think they're going to be 12-4 at the third seed. And like I said, the Giants, I feel, will get in. They have to win out, so I think they're going to be 9-7. And the fourth seed, my wild card, like I said, Falcons, I think, will go 11-5. Lions will go 10-6. So those are my predictions for the season. But you know what? I couldn't stop it at that. I had to look at the playoffs. I have the standings right there. So now I have the matchups, which I feel that will happen. Falcons at Giants in the first round. I think the Giants win. Falcons, better record. Giants, winners of their division, which they will be hosting the first game of the playoffs. And I think they will win that game. Lions at 49ers. You got to talk upsets, man. And I just think the Lions are going to win. I just think they will. Well, I have a lot of respect for the 49ers, but they look really good on Monday night. But let's face it, they were playing Big Ben, who had a horrible ankle. I just think the Lions, what they're doing offensively is just amazing. I just think they're going to have a win against the 49ers. And I just think that their defense is being up. The 49ers don't have a huge offense. And a lot of field goals being kicked this year by the team. That's my prediction. Ravens at Broncos. Ravens will win that game in the AFC. And Bengals at Texans. I still feel the Texans are a really good team. And when they figure out what they're doing wrong here, they're gonna be okay for the first round. So that's what I have. So now, my next round, I have Texans at Steelers. Steelers should win that one. Ravens at Patriots. I think the Ravens are going to win. I think they're just defensively too good. And they have a good offense. So I think the Patriots are going to give up some points. And the Ravens are not going to give up that many. I have all the respect for Tom Brady and what he's doing for that team. But, I have respect for the defense of the Ravens. So I just think, defense usually wins games. And I think that's going to happen. Giants at Saints. Saints are going to win that game. Then the Lions at Green Bay. Packers, Green Bay will win that game. So now four teams left. Ravens at Steelers. Ravens are going to win that game. The Ravens have beat them twice. Close games, but you know what? Well, the first game was not close at all, but the second game, very close. And I just think the Ravens are going to win. I think the Steelers have always won those big games, but I think it's the Ravens' turn. They have a lot of young talent, and I just think they know they have the confidence, and I think they're going to win. Saints at Packers. This is I hate to do this. I mean, it just seems like I'm throwing all this heat on the Packers because they lost one game. It's just, everybody's got to lose once. I still think they're an elite team, but I think the Saints will win. Drew Brees, he is hungry, man. He's just that guy. Like I said, he's not very tall, man. He is on fire. I think that offense is crazy right now. I think they're just gonna. I think they're gonna win. I think the Saints are gonna win. I think it'll be a Ravens Saints Super Bowl matchup. And I think the Ravens are gonna win the Super Bowl. They're gonna be more hungry to win. Well, I don't want to say more hungry. I think Drew Brees, just because he won one, I think the Ravens will be a little bit more hungry to win one. And their defense, a lot of guys on that team would like to win the Super Bowl. And I just think their defense is going to lock them down. But definitely a great game to watch if that does happen. But, shit happens. Anyways, here, those are my predictions. Let's see if any of them are correct. And, see if I know what I'm talking about. But let's talk about the other end of the NFL. There's no lottery. The bottom five teams get the top five picks in the draft. The Colts, however, they've had Andrew Luck wrapped up. Andrew Luck essentially has been talked about as the number one draft pick. whoever gets the number one draft pick is going to pick him. This is what they're talking about. So the Colts have had this number one seed locked up, but now they've won two in a row. And just like that, there's three teams now in the hunt for that number one pick. But I still think the Colts have the tiebreaker, I guess. It's kind of like an opposite tiebreaker because they actually, I guess they have the worst conference record or whatever it is. So I think they're still going to have the first pick. And I think the Rams will have the second pick. The Vikings have the third pick, in my mind. Buccaneers, just horrible. I think they're going to have the fourth pick. And the Jaguars are going to have the fifth pick. It's my prediction for the bottom end. And honestly, that's it for the show. I'm going to leave you now. I promised you guys my top 10 plays. I gave you the bottom five. And here is my top five plays. And this is a guy that's kind of got my attention this year. Victor Cruz. Here it is.
Manning on 32. And the pass is caught for a first down. And Victor Cruz breaks free into Eagles territory. And he's still going. Victor Cruz is in for the touchdown. 74 yards.
That play was epic on so many levels. He basically cut across. He caught the ball. The defender was behind him trying to tackle him, and a defender was in front of him trying to tackle him. They both dove. If he would have stayed there, he would have sandwiched, but he decided to do a little stutter step to the right, and the defenders hit each other, fell to the ground, and he just ran in and did his signature salsa touchdown dance. And here is my fourth best play of the NFL season. And it is brought to you by the first game of the NFL season, and it was Wes Welker. Check it out.
And that right there. And that's a head scratcher from that close, from a half yard out.
Low percentage throw as well, Mike. And Henny's got to give his receiver a chance.
Well, there's Brady out of the gun from the half yard line. Why not? To Wes Welker. Wes Welker pulling away. And he ties an NFL record with a 99 yard touchdown.
Oh, my. How many guys throw it out of their end zone in an empty backfield?
As Don Meredith said when Tony Dorsett did it, 99 yards and a half.
I hate to put a... Yeah, that was the first game for the Dolphins. And that's, you know at a certain point of the game and the nail is firmly hit on the coffin, and that was it. And here is a play I had played for you earlier, but it's worth showing twice. And this is at least the third best play. This is the Zen Man's third best play of the NFL season so far. Here it is.
As a quarterback in the NFL where he's actually played in the game and thrown a pass.
Donald Brown breaking free initially. And Brown off to the races. Donald Brown down the sideline. He's gone. Touchdown, Indianapolis.
No flag. Put it on the board.
Still a great play. Just, all love for the Colts. Glad they won a game. It's very embarrassing to go 0-16. Detroit Lions. Yeah, the Detroit Lions did that a few years ago. And saw people coming into the stands with bags on their heads. Not good. But here is my number two play. Take it away, Matt Prater.
On the left hash. Matt Prater from 51 yards out for the win. The kick is good.
If I thought anybody was going to listen for a solid 45 minutes, I would have just put the entire ending to that game on there, but that just kind of sums it up for you. And their big win against the Bears 2 weeks ago. And this play was amazing. It is my number one play of the NFL season. It's a guy from Arizona.
Patrick Peterson, and just listen up. And this is a tremendous play to win the game.
Good high kick. Peterson looks around. Backpedals, takes it at the two. Trying to get outside. Turns it upfield. Patrick Peterson gets by the punter. Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it for the Cardinals. The incredible rookie, Patrick Peterson, with his third punt return for a touchdown this season. That one, 99 yards.
Yep, that's kind of when they started winning games. I think they were 1-6 or 1-7 at one point, and they've been winning since, man, winning some games. They had the Ravens. They actually would have beat them. They had a 24-point lead on them, and they lost. But they beat the Eagles and the Cowboys, and just they're still in the hunt. So that was my number one play of the NFL season. I just want to thank anybody listening in. I hope it was enjoyable. I try to get as many plays on as possible to give you guys just more of the mood, take you back a little bit. A lot of these plays you guys have seen, maybe forgot. But so far as my top 10, many more plays. I could have probably had 100 of them on here. And, you know, I could have talked about every team as well, but there's 32 teams. I just want to talk about the main stories. And I thought it's been an incredible year. It's really hard to sum up in one sentence. It's been anything but just the year of the quarterbacks. It's been the year of inconsistency, which has kind of been fun to watch, but just hard to watch for some people. It's just I thought it was at least I got it now instead of last week, because a lot happened last week that I'm glad I got to talk about. So you heard my predictions. I have the Ravens winning the Super Bowl, but if I had to pick four teams that have a chance, I'm picking the Saints, I'm picking the Packers, and I'm picking the Patriots. I love the 49ers. I think they're a great team. Their defense is the best I have seen probably since watching the NFL. I mean, they're great. But their offense, honestly, I know they have Frank Gore, but, man, I'm not saying they're not having a bad year or anything. Alex Smith is having his best year, but a lot of field goals kicked this year. And it's just, you can see that they're struggling sometimes. But I'm going to leave you guys with one last play. I've been a little hard on the Packers. I should have talked about them a little more. But you know what? My predictions are predictions, and I feel that they're all going to come true. But here's just my last play by the Packers, just to kind of sum up their season. This was the closest – before last week, this was a play that won the game for them, and I thought the Giants had them, but they didn't. And just want to say before I play this, thanks for listening again. Happy holidays to everybody. Christmas is on Sunday. I hope to have, if anybody's listening in, I have a show tomorrow morning. I hope to have Captain Frank Adred. He's the anchor, the captain of this radio network, the Ship to Shore Radio, who has his own show Tuesday nights from 9 to 11:30 with Evil Rob and his trusty first mate, Ken. I, however, have two shows on this network, the Southern Mobile Sports Wrap, which I'm going to air after this show, just to give you guys, I had it on Thursday, and I had my special guest, Kyle Kaiser, Division II football star, and I had about a 20-minute interview with him. It's good stuff. And normally my NFL pregame show is on Sunday mornings before the NFL games, but all the NFL games are tomorrow. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve, but no games on Sunday, one game on Sunday, however. But all the games, except for Monday night and the game that has already been played on Thursday, everything else is tomorrow. So just, hopefully you guys understand that and don't sit around doing nothing tomorrow. You have football to watch if you're not doing some last-minute shopping. So with that, I'm just going to say happy holidays from the Zen Man. Hope everybody has a safe and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody. And this one's for you, Packers. And with that, I'll say goodnight, and thanks for listening, guys.
31-yard try. Packers are 12-0.
listening to Ship to Shore Radio.
Welcome to the NFL Recap Show, brought to you by The Zen Man, only on Ship to Shore Radio.